Blog Talk Radio.
You are about to enter into the world of the paranormal. Of ghosts, UFOs, demons, Bigfoot, and generally anything unexplained. We live in a diverse world where we don't fully understand everything that happens around us. These are the topics that we are discussing on Paranormal Horizons. Stay tuned with your hosts, Jason Ophir and Sherry Pang, as we look a little deeper into the world of the paranormal. Paranormal Horizons begins now. Hello, everybody out in internet land. Welcome to another episode of Paranormal Horizons. I'm one of your two hosts, Jason Ophir, here with Sherry Pang. As always, Sherry, how's it going?
Good. How are you, Jason? Are you having problems with the internet? It sounds like you're kind of sketching in and out a little bit.
Oh, I hope not. I don't know. Do you hear me okay?
Yes, I can hear you fine now. I was just kind of worried for just that second. But anyway, we're going to have a new guest, and kind of excited to introduce her. I've never met her before, but it's going to be very enlightening for our listeners and to know a little bit more about ghost hunting.
That's always a very exciting subject. As you know, I've done some investigations, and while I'm still skeptical a little bit on the paranormal, I have encountered some things that I can't explain. So, you got our guest tonight, Selena Roan, who's the founder and lead investigator of Fear Paranormal Society in Texas, Oklahoma, and Florida. And so she's going to be on. It looks like she's called in. So I'm hearing a lot of noise on your end.
Yeah, I wonder what's going on. I sound like I'm really loud and clear. Let me try and adjust that. Can you hear me again, Jason?
It just sounds like something's brushing up against a microphone or something.
Oh, that's weird. Okay. I hope it's better. Okay, well, anyway, let's bring her on.
All right. Hey, Selena.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you? Thanks for coming on.
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Hi, Selena. This is Sherry. Welcome
to
the show.
Thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Looking forward to talking to you and just getting some information for our listeners. And anyway, just quickly so we can cover a lot of things, just tell us a little bit about you and what you're up to, and we'll just go from there.
All right. Well, I'm the lead investigator and founder of Fear Paranormal, and it started in Dallas, and then we went to Houston and Oklahoma and now in Florida, where I have recently moved and gotten married. So I actually have been doing the paranormal for quite some time now, probably about the last 9 years.
And
yeah, it was a passion of mine because I lost my mom in 2004, and I really wanted to communicate with her. So I really was watching and learning and trying to find out how exactly to communicate with my mother. And that's what got me into the paranormal, and now it's a major passion, and I've recently married a psychic medium. So
congratulations. Yay. It's all in the family.
Yeah, thank you. But, yeah, we make a really good team. I use actual equipment because I actually am a sales rep for Paranologies, and we make specialized paranormal equipment, and she is a psychic medium, so she is her own tool. So it kind of like when we team up, it's pretty amazing.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, and we've got a couple of events that we're headed to this year so far. We've got a cruise called the Spirit Cruise, the Ghostly Gallivant, and it's in April, at the end of April and 1st of May. And we're going to go to Belize and Mexico, and I don't even know where all we're going with it, 4 different locations. And then that's in April. And then in July, we're going to be going to the Mid-South Paranormal Convention, which takes place in Kentucky. July 20th, I believe. And then at the end of September, we'll be in Biloxi, Mississippi. And
Wow, a lot of traveling.
Yeah, we present together because it's kind of funny. We met through the paranormal, but I've never seen anybody actually speak on being an empath, and that's what I speak on. And then come to find out, my now wife, that's what she was speaking on, and we actually spoke on it together in Florida for the first time in July. And it just kind of went from there, and that's what we do. We speak on being an empath and how it affects you in the paranormal and helps you as well. So,
I have a question to ask you, Selena. I saw in your bio that you did a documentary in 2013 called Shadows on 66. Can you really tell us what Chip Coffee? What was that, by the way?
Well, it was actually Brad and Barry Kling had approached me to do the documentary after I had been going to they're from Texas, Brad and Barry Kling, and they had a lot of events, and I would go to them, and they just kind of, I guess, liked the way I investigated, so they asked me to help them with this documentary that covered the Galena Murder Bordello, which is in Galena, Kansas, and I was like, well, sure. I mean, what are we going to do? And they told me, and I go, well, who am I working with? And they said, Chip Coffee. And I'm like, well, when do I sign up? I mean, like, yeah. So we went to the Galena Murder Bordello, and, you know, I built all the equipment for the documentary and everything, and got to meet Chip Coffee and work with him, and that was absolutely amazing. But it wasn't really marketed like it should have been, and then some issues came up with it. So it's kind of like not heard of right now, but it happened, and I have it on DVD, and it happened in 2013. And it was supposed to be a series, but it kind of didn't work out that way. And so, but it was a great experience. We had a great time. A lot of things learned, and learning from Chip Coffee and, you know, and all them, it was a great experience.
So was Chip Coffee, is he a paranormal investigator? I know he's a psychic medium, but is he also a paranormal investigator?
No, I wouldn't consider him that. He's actually a really good friend of mine, and he's the psychic medium that will go on in a paranormal investigation. Yeah, my wife does the same thing. You know, she'll help local teams around here, you know, with some of their cases and things like that. But she's really not what you would consider a paranormal investigator, and neither is Chip. But he will go on, you know, investigations and things because, you know, he's been to Stanley. I've been to Stanley with him. And the, Bavor Winery, I think it was, in Missouri. And I've been a several places with him. He'll go on the investigation, but he doesn't, you know, really, you know, paranormal investigate, I guess. He doesn't need to. He, you know, he can talk to them without using tools and recorders, you know.
Right, exactly. So in your experience, Selena, have you had any attachments or anything follow you home?
Yes, ma'am. As much as, you know, I would like to say that I keep myself completely protected, there are times when you let your guard down or you're not protected enough because they can be a little bit stronger than you at the time. Yeah, I've had a couple of really bad attachments and had to have them absolutely removed, and my chakras aligned and all kinds of stuff that I didn't know anything about when it happened to me. You know, I wasn't into the chakra thing and all that. I was like, what in the world are you talking about? But yeah, I've had some really dark things. And absolutely, last year on the cruise, I had been to a paranormal investigation at a place that has an open well underneath the home, a portal, so to speak. And there was some kind of entity that was really trying to bully a friend of mine. And I wasn't ugly or didn't try to provoke. All I said was, you know, please don't, you know, try to scare my friend. We're not here to hurt you. We're only here to communicate. And that, I guess, was some sort of invitation, I was told, which I don't see it as that, but it attached to me. And I went to New Orleans right after that, and it actually it brought a couple of hitchhikers, I was told. So I had like four attachments on me at once. And then I went on the cruise and I got deathly sick, and I was sick for 5 weeks and couldn't figure out what it was. And none of the medicines were working they were giving me. I went from having the flu to bronchitis to it hanging on for weeks. And so finally a friend of mine who can, I guess, see auras or see things, said that I had a really nasty, dark attachment, and so she actually sent me to a lady and had it cleared, and it was the craziest thing ever, but it absolutely worked. So
did you notice
right after Selena, after the treatment, did you notice like before and after, was it that drastic?
It really was. It was like I don't know where she took me when she did whatever she did to me, but I felt completely lighter, happier, because I was not myself. I felt like I'm on the ship. I really and truly thought, when I was on the Spirit Cruise last year, I really thought I was going to die on the cruise and they were going to feed me to the sharks, because I couldn't even hold my head up off the pillow. I was so deathly ill. And I had been to the doctor when I got home 3 different times for 3 different types of medication to try to help me, and nothing was working. And when I went to her, it was like I felt completely different when I left. It was crazy. And I was like, this ain't going to work. You know, I was complete, you know, skeptic about it. I'm like, this lady's not going to be able to help me, and I don't have nothing on me. And, I got proven wrong. Let's just say that.
Isn't that amazing how things work like that?
Yeah, it is. Definitely.
Oh my goodness, that's crazy. I'm a psychic medium, and I can see them and feel them off of people, but when it comes to doing them myself, it's a different story.
Right,
it's easier to do it on somebody else than it is to do it on yourself.
Right.
It's like doing your own hair, right?
Exactly.
Jason, go ahead. Are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you loud and clear.
That's got to be one of the worst experiences, to be on a cruise and deathly ill. I mean, that's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it really sucked, because I paid a lot of money to go on the cruise, and then I was supposed to present. And, you know, I mean, we had a lot of fun people, and there was a lot of fun activities. And I was so deathly ill that I didn't even come out of the room hardly until the last day. And I mean, it completely sucked. People were like, oh, you're alive. And I'm like, barely, you know. It was the worst. But this year, my wife and I are absolutely, we're going to be presenting, and on the cruise this year, so I have a good feeling about this year that I'm not going to have any nasty attachments or sicknesses, and I'm going to have an actual good time.
Good.
And you said that was a spirit cruise, so that's like a spiritually themed cruise. I've heard of these theme cruises before. I've never actually heard of kind of a paranormal one. Is that kind of what it's like?
No, it's called Spirit Cruise, and it's a paranormal. It's actually a lot of paranormal people. It's my wife and I are presenting, and so is Brian Kano, and then they have and he's from Haunted Collector, and you know he's pretty cool. He brings a really cool element to the cruise, and he knows a lot about some of the stops. They do paranormal investigations on some of the stops they have set up. Last time they did the Rosewood Plantation, which is where Johnny Cash, he bought that in Jamaica and lived, and they went and investigated it. So that happened, but of course I was deathly sick and wasn't able to do any of it. But they do things, they have paranormal presentations. My wife April will be on the cruise doing readings and things like that, and then there's they have all kinds of good fun. Like they do, like I said, outings off the boat, and they do things on the ship. Like we have karaoke, and then they have the I forget what it's called, but when they duel lip sync contest, where they lip sync songs, and they have a big contest, and whoever wins, and there's a costume contest on board and things like that, and they have themes every year. Last year was the voodoo cruise, and I guess that's why a lot of people were sick, because they also have Fire and Ice Paranormal founders, Gary and Virginia Walters, who are also going to be on the cruise. So there's a lot of other people that will be on there too, like people from the U.K., Australia. I mean, all these people come together for this once a year. And this is, I think, the third or fourth one that they're having. So I did have fun the last day, and I did make myself get out of the room and go to the beach twice because I didn't feel like doing much else, but I needed to get out of the sickness of that room and get some fresh air and enjoy what I could, you know?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, they have a Facebook page, and it's Spirit Cruise, the Ghostly Gallivant, and it leaves at the end of, I think it's April 29th, and we're gone for a week, and I think we go to Belize, and I can't even remember, Montego Bay, and Mexico somewhere. It's three or four different locations we're stopping at, so it's going to be really a lot of fun.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So as a female investigator, what do you do to protect yourself, Selena? I mean, I just for our listeners, I know what I do, but what would you do, what would you advise if somebody was learning to go and get into paranormal investigator, what would you suggest or what would your advice be to somebody who's just starting?
Well, I think, you know, I get meditation a lot, you know, breathing and connecting with your spirit guides and your angels that protect you, you know. Kind of getting a really good relationship with them built is extremely important as far as them helping you out, you know, on investigations. I also have, I pray before each investigation. I have my own little thing I do. You know, you can do it privately or you can do it as a group. But as long as you protect yourself, there's also, you can wear, you know, religious medals and things like that if you believe in that. And there's also crystals and things like that you can carry with you. However, there's a crystal for almost every little thing. And after a while, you can't carry all of those around in your pocket so much because you look like you're, you know, smuggling stuff in your pockets around, and they make a lot of noise and contaminate your EVP. So you kind of have to pick and choose which ones you want to use.
Oh, really? I didn't know. Seriously, carrying different kinds of crystals or too many of them does affect the EVPs. I know that it makes sense, but I didn't know that you shouldn't be doing that. That's interesting.
Well, no, I was being sarcastic about having too many of them in your pocket at one time because they rub together. And then you'll think you're hearing stuff, and it's just your crystals in your pocket. Not that it'll affect your EVPs, but as far as good or bad, but maybe noises you might hear are the crystals rubbing around together in your pocket because you got too many of them. So you have to pick and choose which ones you take with you and protect yourself with.
That makes sense.
Okay.
So you've been investigating for quite a while. Have there been any investigations that really had notable evidence or any situations where you felt you were being spiritually compromised? I know you said that you had some attachments, and we've talked to a lot of people in the past about attachments. But I was just curious if you had any notable investigations, maybe somebody's residence where really crazy activity happened. Anything like that?
There was a place in Texas, and it just recently closed down because the lady's health is so bad she can't really keep up the place. But it's this place called Miss Hattie's, and it was a African-American brothel back in the day. And they did prohibition. They smuggled in liquor, and they were doing prostitution and things they weren't supposed to be doing, and illegal gambling and, you know, stuff like that. It was kind of like a speakeasy place back in the day. And I had this guy contact me, and he said, hey, you need to drive down here. It was like 2 hours south of Dallas. And he goes, you need to drive down here and check this place out. It's off the chain. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah. I said, well, it better be worth my drive, you know, because I don't get paid for this. And he's like, no, I swear you'll love it. So I go down there, and I got all of my stuff, brand new batteries and every piece of equipment that I had. Everything was charged completely up. And I go in this place, and I'm, like, trying to use, you know, like I said, I'm a sales rep for Paranology, so I've got periscopes and, you know, all kinds of stuff set up all over the place, geopods and, you know, phonopods and just everything set up. And I was getting nothing, and I was getting so frustrated. But for some reason, all the batteries that I put in there were going really fast. And I was like, okay, I know that, you know, these batteries are not – the name brand, but come on, you know, that can't be going this fast. And so after frustration had set in and I went upstairs, I was going to try just one more session and then I was going to leave. And I went up there and all of my batteries were drained and I had just a little bit of battery left in my recorder. And I said, is there anybody with us here or anybody here with us? And all of a sudden you hear footsteps walking up to me, and this man out of the blue, and I didn't hear it at the time, of course, when I, reviewed it, I found it, but he said, I'm right here trying to talk into this box right here, and I didn't hear anything at the time, like I said, and I was so mad, I packed up all my stuff, I didn't think I got anything, and I drove all the way home, and the next day I woke up, and I was like, let's see what I got on the recorder, you never know. And I listened to like 4 hours, nothing but literally crickets, and on two different recorders, nothing but crickets. And then I picked up my third recorder that I had in my hand, and it had like 45 minutes of one thing, and then it was nothing. And then there was like, I think it was 45 to 50 seconds of another, and I was going to erase it. And I said, oh, why not? Just listen to it. And there was the EVP that was Class A. And I didn't hear it at all because I would have been like, where are you? Because I've been looking for you all night, you know. But I got a Class A EVP from there. And then the Stanley Hotel, we did an investigation. It was actually a fundraiser for Lost Limbs Foundation. And it was Ben Hansen and Chip Coffey and Dana Workman from Haunted Highways and Mike Couch. And we were all doing the investigation there. And we went down into the basement, or they call it the tunnels is what they called it. And it's underneath the Stanley Hotel in Colorado. And we all felt this really weird presence, and heat just overtook two of us. And then I started to almost get sick on my shoes, and I never get nauseous like that.
Ooh.
And something pushed over my friend, and then she got shook up, and I was almost sick to my stomach and shaking inside, and then we smelled some kind of weird smell down there, and we're like, let's get out of here. And sure enough, the next day I woke up, and that was the other attachment that I had. Whatever was in that tunnel wanted to go home with me, and I woke up the next day and felt like I had been beat with a baseball bat on one side of me, and then I had a heat rash on the side where we were feeling that presence on my face.
Oh, you're kidding. Wow.
No, I will never go back to the Stanley's Tunnels again. I'll go to the hotel because it was amazing, and we had great activity up on the fourth floor, but the tunnels are out for this girl. I will not go back down there.
What's the history of the tunnels? Was there a lot of dark stuff that happened down there? Is there any reason why it would be kind of so negative?
Not really. I don't know. It's just there's a really big conduit in that hotel for attracting all kinds of spirit. It's almost like a portal because the stairs are set up one on one side, one on the other, on east and west. And then it's like the energy goes in a huge circle all the way from the – because it's built on limestone – And also, it's like right by a water. I mean, everything runs underneath this thing. And there's like gold. It looked like gold dust coming from some of the rocks too. And all of that, it's like this big energy circle that goes from the bottom tunnel all the way up each staircase, all the way to the fourth floor and back down again. And it just can always creates energy. And you know, Chip even ran into a spirit down in the basement area, and it happened to be the owner of the hotel, the old owner, the man.
Wow.
He didn't know it wasn't his spirit. That was like he said the first or second time he had went to the Stanley, and he didn't know who it was. I think he said it was his first visit there, and he was down in the basement, and this man was dressed really nice, and he walked up to him and said something. And when he walked away, he turned to say something to him, and he was gone. And he was like, oh, wow. And so later he's having a tour of the hotel all the way around, and they have pictures of the old man, the owner. And he's like, that's who I saw downstairs. And so it's extremely haunted. And then the wife she haunts the where they have the orchestra or the – I don't know. They have like a banquet hall, and it's very haunted. And she haunts that place a lot. But they're both seen around the hotel, the old owner and his wife, all the time. But it's got so much going on. And, you know, The Shining was actually written in the Stanley. And he was actually inspired to write The Shining, the movie The Shining, when he went and visited the Stanley. So it's got a lot of stuff going on there, and we had so much going on in our room. If the guy that walked in to fix our TV thought he was walking into a booby trap or he was being punked, because we had REM pods and periscopes and K2s and cameras and trigger objects and stuff everywhere in our room. And we were recording the whole entire time we were there. And we had so much activity in the first 30 minutes of trying to document all the activity. It was insane. There was stuff going off all over the room, periscopes and trigger objects, and it was just nuts. And the activity at that place is crazy, and it's absolutely beautiful, too.
And I'm looking at a picture of the hotel.
Do you think that when the place is haunted, do you feel like it, like with April, she's a psychic medium, can she actually, or Chip Coffee or whoever, can they tap into that energy and hopefully send these people to the light? Yes, that is a good thing to find out what the history is, why they're doing these things, and, you know, just to have validation. But is that other part of them is that you can actually, find out why they're at this way and then try and put the soul at peace so that they can cross over and not have the place be so haunted?
Well, my wife is sitting here with me, and she said that, what did you say, honey, that they would?
You can guide them.
You can guide them.
It's free will. You can't force them.
Okay. She said you can guide them to it, but you can't force them to go because it's free will.
Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, and, you know, it's funny because I was asking, you know, Chip when I first met him, I was like, you know, Well, not after I first met him. It was a couple months after we had become friends, and I was like, you know, I want to know why it took my mom so long to come and do any kind of, you know, why is it taking her so long? What am I doing wrong? You know, I can get answers for everybody else's families and help everyone else, but my mom's not coming to me. Why? And he goes, frankly, they got stuff to do. You know, they have no time there on the other side. There is no time. They don't have like an hour or 2 hours, or, you know, it could be 20 years to you, and to them it's been no time. I mean,
space doesn't exist on the other side.
No, it doesn't. And so, you know, you can't always have them come through when you want. You know, they come through when they're ready to come through, when they have something to tell you, when they have a message to get through. And, you know, it's really cool because when April and I first started even talking, she knew nothing about, you know, my mom or any details. She knew that she was gone, but she didn't know, like, certain things that I'd never even told anybody about, little things. For instance, a Christmas angel that I bought for the top of our tree when my mom passed away, it represented her. It was like in honor of her. And I had never posted it, told anybody, never mentioned it. And she goes, well, your mom wants you to tell me a little bit about the tree topper that you got for Christmas. And I was like, what? And so it's crazy the things that April can get. And how connected she is. It really blows me away. But you can help. You can suggest them to go to the light and tell them it's okay, you know, and guide them there. But that doesn't mean they have to go. You know, it's what they want to do. It's their free will. So
and it's like us. They have their personalities, don't they?
Yeah, when they carry their personality over with them. You know, I mean, just like, you know, if you're a nice person in life, you're going to be a pretty good spirit, you know. If you're kind of a jerk, you're probably going to be a jerky, kind of cranky spirit, you know. You carry that over. It's your shell dies, your spirit and your soul, I mean, really doesn't. So you kind of maintain that same, you know, I guess, personality. So
that's good. Okay, Jason, go ahead and shoot.
Well, I was looking at a picture of the Stanley Hotel, and if any place looks haunted, it looks very beautiful. It's very large, and it looks like that would be kind of a scary place to investigate. How about Sherry? You want to go work the tunnels there and see if we can get in there?
I don't know. I personally don't want to do that. How about
yeah,
you?
Neither.
I picked up a couple of attachments myself. So
yeah, that place is so gorgeous, though. I mean, just even the outside, they have wild elk walking around the streets, and you have to stop for them. I mean, herds of them. And they're absolutely
wow.
It's just beautiful, and it snowed the whole time we were there, so it was like, are we fixing to get snowed into this freaky hotel and do The Shining all over again? Because there was so much snow, it was crazy, but it was beautiful. And it is definitely active, for sure. And there's no
doubt.
Oh,
nice. Wow.
Yeah, but they're not big into the paranormal right now. They get into their little kicks. They get through these phases where they'll allow paranormal events and paranormal investigations, and they even have their own paranormal people doing ghost tours. But then they get into this kick about, oh, it's the summertime and families are going to come, so we can make all the money off of them. So we're going to back away from the paranormal for right now. And they do this often, periodically, whatever. And then they realize, man, the paranormal brings us a lot of money, so we better go back to letting them have their thing, you know. But right now they're in we're backing away from the paranormal phase. So we're waiting for them to snap out of it.
I did have a question. It's something I've actually wondered about for a long time. You know, I don't watch a lot of the ghost shows on TV, but I've heard several times people refer to, like you did earlier, with the classes of EVPs, like Class A. I was hoping you could break that down for me, because I've wondered exactly what is a class – constitutes a Class A EVP or B, or however the chart goes?
Well, a Class A is where you can hear it very clearly. And there's no, you know, trying to figure out, did it say this or did it say that? A Class A is Class A. It's top of the line. The Class B, they need some amount of enhancement, like, you know, or to take noise off the back or whatever for you to be able to hear them. So that's a Class B, and that's kind of where they're at. It's either Class A or Class B. There's really no other ones except for, we got a little bit of audible, but we don't know what it is and can't make it out. And that's pretty much, you know, that's where people get frustrating to me, is where they hear things that I'm not hearing, or they're trying to make something of a word that is not what they're saying. And then they build their own story off of it. That drives me insane when people do that. But you have that happen a lot at public investigations, like big events. And, you know, people hear something on the ghost box and they're like, oh, my God, it said he wanted to kill me. No, it didn't. Calm down. You know, and then they start building this whole story about, you know, what happened and this, that, and the other. And Chip always says, if you have to make it fit, that's not it. So, you know, it's always, you have to really listen. And sometimes you can hear something, but you cannot make it out no matter what you do. And you don't want to play with it too much because people will say you pretty much manufactured it. You know what I mean?
So when you said make it fit, what, you're trying to finagle some, making something out of nothing? Is that what you're saying? Trying to make a word out of something that you can't understand?
Right. Or, you know, say, for instance, people have the ovuluses, right? And
right.
We were at an event at Duff Green, and it's a battlefield. You know, it actually was, there's a cannonball in the roof of the Duff Green. And so there was a lot of activity. It was a field hospital. And, you know, there was some people there at the event that had an ovulus, and it would say, like it said bullet or something. And they started going off and making this whole, did you get shot? You know, did your wife shoot you? It's like, oh, my God, it said bullet. Quit building a whole entire story around it when you have no idea, you know.
Wow.
And then it makes people, what is that called? It makes people think one thing, and it's not that, you know, and it closes them off to what it could really be. Because they're I don't know what the word I'm looking for is. They're preconceived because there's somebody feeding them something, and so they're thinking it's one thing and it could be something completely different. But, you know, people build stories around those ovuluses that have, you know, like, oh, you got shot because it says bullet or whatever. And it's like, no, that's not what it said. It said bullet. Let it build its own story, you know. Let it tell us what it wants to tell us. Don't try to build a story around it, you know. Just,
that's awesome. It's being realistic.
Yeah.
You know, Sherry, I can relate to a lot of this because I did a lot of – I don't do paranormal investigations anymore, but I did a lot. And I would get these EVPs, and it would, to me, it would sound plain as day, and then you'd have somebody else listen to it, and they don't hear it. It's the weirdest thing. But so I can totally relate. People hear different things, you know.
Right. I like to keep it to myself until the end, and then kind of come together and see what all the notes were, because that way you're not contaminating someone else's thoughts and what they're hearing. Because, you know, it's like pareidolia with photographs, and that's when you look at a photograph and you see something and you can make something that's not really there. And people do this a lot with the orb thing. That's kind of a touchy, you know, subject, I know, because some people believe fully in orbs and others think, like Keith Age will tell you, I will say orb one more time. You know, it wears Keith Age out so bad. He's made T-shirts about it. Don't talk to me about orbs. But there are certain things like light anomalies and things like that, you know, that, you know, are questionable. But the orb thing, you know, people get so excited about, oh, my God, that's my grandma's face. No, it's not. You know, you're wanting to see something, so your mind is tricking you into thinking that. That's called pareidolia. It can happen with EVPs as well, you know. One person can hear one thing, and then someone else hears it completely different, or they don't hear it at all. And, you know, it's all about what your mind, you know, is open to. And you don't want to contaminate someone else's investigation by starting to holler out all this stuff when it could have absolutely nothing to do with it. So I like to keep all my stuff until the end, you know?
Well, I know people that are, just like you said, they take these orb pictures and they have faces. And I know people that claim that there are all these famous people that have passed in history. And, I'm kind of a skeptic, so I'm left shaking my head. The universe is an amazing place, and I don't proclaim to know everything, but I do know in conducting investigations, I was able to disprove a lot of stuff. Of course, there was stuff that I couldn't prove that was not paranormal, but yeah, I see people just roll with it and just start making all these claims. And I mean, if it doesn't hurt anybody, that's cool. It's some of the things that I run into in the paranormal just really make me shake my head.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of crazy things, and there's things that I don't buy at all. I've seen a lot of people with a lot of things like pictures, and they really are. And I hate to break it to them that's the bug. That's not your grandma. I'm sorry. I wish it was your grandma for you, but it's a bug. I can see the wings on it. There's programs we can put photos through that'll help, but debunking, that's what we're supposed to do when we're investigating. We're supposed to see first if there's a natural explanation to it. Is it something that's natural and that or just happens, or if it's something that we cannot explain, then we have to throw it into paranormal. But some of those can even be debunked, and that's what you're supposed to do. A good investigator, that's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to try and figure out, is this actually paranormal, or can it be explained away as a natural occurrence?
The other thing I've noticed in the paranormal is there's a lot of backstabbing and drama. I never realized there was so much drama in the world until I got involved in the paranormal. It's so crazy town. Oh my God. I don't know if you noticed, if you've seen any of that, Sherry, but there is just really, I don't know if it's because everybody's trying to get a TV show or what, but everybody just likes to stab everybody in the back. It's really crazy.
Oh, trust me, I've had my share of that jealousy thing. It was really kind of a nasty attack, but it was, you have to ignore those people because they're just jealous or, unhappy in their own life. And I just didn't, after a while, at first it got really to me. I took it personal because, oh, my God, they're attacking me. They're saying really nasty things about me. Why? Why? What did I do? And it's because you're going somewhere that they wanted to go, or you're doing an event that they wanted to do and they didn't get signed to, and they're all, pissed. And so they start the attacks, and it's ridiculous. And it's happened to me personally. And you just have to ignore those folks and let them, show their true colors, because they're just nasty people, and I don't let them get to me anymore. I don't even act like they're alive. I just go about doing my thing, and it's worked very well, because if you don't fuel the fire and you don't, go back at them, it'll die. They'll get tired of attacking a wall, and they'll go find someone else to be jealous about. But there is a lot of drama in the paranormal. I've noticed that. It's been really nasty, and I tend to try to stay with the people that are positive and that are going to be, helping in furthering this field and not hurting it with their BS and their high school crap, because I'm a grown-ass woman and I ain't into the drama. I'm here to do one thing. We're all here to find those answers to the things that we've been wondering forever, and there is no competition. Nobody's an expert. Nobody's found the answer yet, so I don't understand what it's all about. We're trying to get to one goal, all of us. And so the inner fighting and the little childish BS, I don't even pay any mind to. I just let them go at each other and do what they do. I'm going to keep doing what I do and walk in my path and whatever, They don't mean
anything. Absolutely. It's all about their ego and being able. We're at a service-oriented business where we're adding value to people's lives, and sometimes people have their egos in the way, and they'll do all kinds of things to make things hard on others, and it's like a test, you know. Like you said, you just kind of ignore them and don't take it personally, and just go on and go do the best you can for whatever you're serving or whoever you're helping. That's the best way to do that.
Yeah, because I mean, I didn't understand all the competition at first, and I still don't, because we're all going for one goal, and that's to find the golden nugget of, you know, let's prove this to be real, you know. And nobody has absolutely found that, you know, not 100%. And so we're all just in this together, but there's these people that, you know, they're just nasty. But like I said, I choose to hang out and learn from more positive people and kind of just push them other people to the side. And it's funny that those folks that were giving me such a hard time, they've kind of faded away, and people have found out their true colors, and they've kind of hung themselves. So karma works. You don't have to force it. It'll work. You may not see it. You may not get to experience it, but it definitely works. So keep your side of the road clean. That's what my mom always told me, and let them do their nastiness, and it'll come to them. You know, she said, what goes around comes around. So, and it's rang true more times than I can count. So
I totally believe in karma. And one of the things I did want to touch on, you know, if any listeners, and I guess Sherry kind of touched on it a little bit earlier, if anybody was interested and wanted to get involved in the paranormal, I think what happens a lot of the time is there's so many ghost shows out there, people decide that that's what they want to do, so they, you know, order equipment, and suddenly they're a paranormal investigator. Would you have any recommendations for a place that somebody could start? Should they contact a local group, or should they break out their Ouija board and black candles for it, or what?
Let's not tell them about any Ouija board activity, because people play with that a little bit too much and don't know what they're doing, and then they get stuff on them they can't wash off with soap and water, and holy water even sometimes doesn't help them. But, you know, let's not say to do that. But I would say if, you know, there's a lot of groups out there, and if you can get, you know, with a group and maybe have one of them mentor you and show you how to do things, because I learned from watching a lot of the shows, but I learned what not to do as well. You know, it taught me not to be yelling and provoking and screaming and all that, because they're not deaf. The spirits are not deaf. They can hear just fine, and they don't need to be provoked. It's like you walking into your grandma's house and kicking stuff around and going, talk to me now. That's not okay. You know, they need to get in with somebody that has some experience, and actually let them mentor them. Let them teach them what the do's and the don'ts. If there's a Paranormal 101 class that a team is holding that has some sort of, you know, good background and a little bit of, I guess, time behind their belt, it would be good for them to go to the Paranormal 101 classes and just learn. You know, you can learn a lot from the investigators that are already in the field, that have been in the field for a long time. I've learned from quite a few, some that have been in the field 5 years, some that have been doing this for 20 years. I've learned so much. And even though I sell equipment, you know, that I've learned that you can use a compass, you know, for as a K2. You don't have to buy a $60 K2. You can buy a $3 and $4 compass and use it as a K2. You know, I've learned this.
What is a K2?
A K2 is an EMF meter. It's pretty much, I mean, we consider it a doorstop now, because lightning can set it off from a mile away. You know, it can be triggered by your phone. You know, someone's phone sending a text that's in the group can send a signal to the K2, and you think you're getting spirit activity. So instead of using that and spending $60 on that piece of equipment, you know, I found that you can use a $3 and $4 compass from somebody that's been doing this, Scott Grinwald, actually. he's been doing this for 20 some odd years, and he's been on ghost adventures and paranormal paparazzi and all this. And he told me, he goes, you don't need a K2, girl. Get a $3 and $4 compass. And he showed me how to use it, and it works exactly the same way.
See,
you know,
I like that.
You know, I love learning from different people, you know, and I was, you know, trying to get a show going that would go around and find these people that nobody knows about that have all this knowledge that we're not being shown because they're nobody, you know, they're not on TV, but these people on TV don't know everything. And there's people that have been doing it for 20 and 30 years behind the scenes that are quiet and just do their investigations and experiments. And we can learn from these folks, you know,
exactly. Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
I learned from this stuff.
You know, I learned about the K2 meter and the phone thing firsthand experience. I was on an investigation, and it just so happened that the K2 meter lit up in concordance with the questions. So I thought we were getting, you know, these responses through the K2. It took me a little while to figure it out, but it turns out it was the communications from the phone, but I eventually figured it out.
Yeah. It'll set it off, and you know, it's a false reading at that point. You know, you can't really trust in it as well. So that kind of threw me off on the K2. I was like, yeah, okay, well, we won't use that so much anymore. Maybe every once in a while, if you're doing a public event, you know, people like to hold things in their hand and whatever, and they get excited about the K2. So we use those on public events and let people hold them in their hand and try to let them feel like the paranormal investigator for a little bit. You got to start them off with the basics, you know. So they, you know, but if somebody's getting involved in the paranormal, it is not a game. I want to reiterate that, you know, it's not something to come out here and you just start doing your thing, and you could cause a lot of damage instead of helping people. If you don't know what you're doing, don't just start up a team and start going to people's houses. That's not how you're supposed to do this, because that's going to cause a lot of problems that you don't know how to fix. You don't know what you're doing all the way, and then someone else has to come clean up the mess. So,
wow, isn't that great? Yeah,
good
advice.
You know?
See, I don't do paranormal investigation, so oh, boy, yeah, I can imagine.
All I did was people's houses, and I never had an issue. But I do know of people that had everything from lawsuits to accusations of theft to injury.
Yeah.
So, yeah, doing people's houses is that's a – you better make sure you know what you're doing and have some sort of insurance or something, because people out there – yeah.
For work to cover your butt. It's a CYA kind of world, cover your ass. And, you know, I have a girl that she has every form that you could ever think of for them to sign, for them to give you permission, liability waivers, everything in her packet. And she's great. I mean, she's on top of it. She don't care if it takes them an hour to fill it out before the investigation. By God, she's having that paperwork signed. And that's very smart, you know, because these people can, you know, it's really crappy because a lot of these people watch these shows and then they'll call, you know, 15 teams around their area and they're like, we have activity. And they use all these phrases that they've gotten from these shows, and you're thinking, oh, they got all this activity and stuff. And all they really want you to do is come out and entertain them for a Saturday night, and they can watch you do your thing. And they
really. Oh, wow.
Yeah, you got to have
it with people that really do have problems.
Yeah, you need a pre-screen questionnaire. We do an over the phone when someone calls us for, you know, activity. We do an over the phone interview, and then if we feel it deemed necessary, we'll send them a questionnaire, and it's like repetitive, you know, questions, but if they really have activity, they'll fill it out and send it in. You know, if they don't, then they're like just jacking with us. That's a way we can pre-screen them to where we don't waste our time, because we don't get paid for this.
Exactly.
You know, and our time and our gas money and, you know, all of the equipment and the batteries and stuff. And, you know, so it's got to be, you know, a legit case before we'll go out. But I would just tell everybody, if they're wanting to get started, to please let somebody mentor you. Learn a lot before you educate yourself on all aspects of it, before you start going in and trying to do residentials and act like you know what you're doing, because you could make a huge mess, and then you're going to leave that family with all the crap that comes from it, and that's not okay. And then they've got to call somebody else that does know what they're doing and get it cleaned out and help them, and that's putting a family through unnecessary mess, you know? So...
Absolutely. So it looks like we've got a few minutes left, and I know that you're doing a show as well on DTM Wicked Radio. You want to throw out a little information on that? And I also see that you do something with the Vixens of Horrors.
We have a show, April and I, on Tuesday nights at it's actually 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and it's called Close to Death. We may be changing the name soon, but to make it more appealing for some people, they go, ooh, Close to Death. But it's called Close to Death, and it's on Tuesday nights and on DTM Wicked Radio. We have a Facebook page. And then, I'm a horror model, H-O-R-R-O-R, because if I say that with my Texas accent, it doesn't quite come out right sometimes. So I am a horror model for the Vixens of Horror, and they're based out of Portland, Oregon. And we do a lot of photo shoots, and I have a Facebook page for my character. It's Slasher Cinnamon, S-I-N, and then A-M-M-O-N is the last name. We each have characters, and they have a backstory, and we do photo shoots quite often. So, and there's the Vixens of Horror Facebook page as well. We're working on our website. We also have a website, www.spiritposse.net, and it has mine and my wife April's information on it. She also does readings. If you want to get a reading, you can go through her. And I sell paranormal equipment as well for Paranologies, and if you go to paranologies.com and order anything, you can put Selena in the coupon code, and I believe you're supposed to get 10% off of your order. So,
I'm definitely going to put that. I saw that, and I'm going to definitely share that on our Paranormal Horizons page. So hopefully maybe somebody might be interested in ordering from you guys.
Yeah, and if they want to save, you know, a little bit of money and they want to buy a bunch of stuff, just tell them to contact me, and I will, help them out and get them situated with getting their Paranologies equipment. He's doing a lot of really cool things and coming up with some really awesome spirit communication boxes called the Poltercom. So if you look on Paranologies.com and check out the Poltercom, there's also YouTube videos on all Paranologies equipment. So,
okay.
So check it out. And I thank y'all for having me on tonight.
Well, thank you for your time. Stay in touch. And, so thank you. I know you're out there in Florida. Like I said, I have some cousins and living down near your neck of the woods. How was your move down there? Was it okay?
Oh, it was pretty smooth, actually. It went rather smooth, and it's been a nice transition. We getting our house all in order and got married December 10th, and we're just kind of getting our stuff together and getting our events lined up for this year, and it's all getting straightened out and working out real well.
Yay!
Alrighty. Well, thanks for coming on. We'll have to get you back on. It sounds like you have a lot more information that would help our listeners understand a little bit more about the paranormal, and I just want to thank you for taking the time. I know it's late down there, so thank you.
All right, thank you. Y'all have a good evening.
You too.
You too.
Take care, Selena. Thank you for coming on.
Oh, yeah. Y'all have a good one.
Yeah, you too. All right. Excellent. Good show, Jason.
I don't know what's going on with your phone, but there is a lot of noise coming from it.
Is that from you or me? What do you think that's from?
Well, it sounds like something's rubbing up against the microphone. Are you on speakerphone or?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me?
Try it without speakerphone.
Okay. Let's try it that way. How's that?
Okay, now just talk for a second. Yeah, that's much. It's clearer, and then it's not getting that, like, weird sound. I don't know what it is.
I don't know either.
Yeah,
I'll have to figure that one out. It's a new phone, so who knows? we'll figure it out. Okay. So anyway, let's see. Next week we're going to have a new guest, and he's going to be he's an author, and he's going to talk about his experience with the haunting in his house. So Michael Gutty, I believe, is his name. And he's going to talk about his new release on Amazon about his house being haunted. This is going to be his fourth book that he's released, so I'm excited to have him on the show next week.
Yeah, that actually will be very exciting to hear somebody's, you know, we talk to people that go to other people's houses and haunted locations, but to actually get somebody on that lives in a haunted house, that will be very interesting to hear about.
Yeah, it would be very, very interesting, and also to hear about his own personal experiences. So I'm really excited to hear what he's going to have to say. So, that would be really interesting. But, yes, David Michael Gutty, and he's going to talk about his house, so his experiences. So, and then the following week we have, so far, unless he cancels for his show on cable, will be David Weatherly.
Yeah, David Weatherly and the Black Eyed Kids, that would be cool. Hey, you know, I forgot that last Friday was Friday the 13th. Did you have any bad luck?
No, I didn't. Oh, yes, I did. I never thought about that. I fell on my tailbone.
Oh, Friday the 13th got you.
Never thought about that. Jeez.
Yeah. All righty. Well, I want to thank everybody for tuning in tonight, and thanks, Selena Rohn, and for coming on the show. And I guess, do you have anything else, Sherry?
Nothing else. And we want to thank you to our listeners for supporting us and participating in listening and giving us some feedback over the Facebook pages. So we just want to really thank you from the bottom of our hearts. And thank you very much, and have a nice week.
Alrighty, we'll see everybody next Sunday, 8 p.m. West Coast time, for another episode of Paranormal Horizons. And with that, I guess we'll bid everybody adieu. Good night, everyone.
Good night. Bye.